It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad y'all are with us. Show brought to you in part by McConnell Buick GMC, the vehicle that pulls Captain Mike's boat and Captain Bobby's boat and boats that need big pulling or little pulling. McConnell's got the vehicle for you to do it with. What are you pulling your big boat with?
With a 2021 GMC 2500 diesel.
Thing's gorgeous, y'all.
It's awesome, man.
Gorgeous.
These new trucks with all the new technology and stuff in them, they are unbelievable.
No tire squealing. Even though he's pulling, I don't know, the boat weight. I think that my boat's heavy, and I go, yeah, but then there's Mike's boat.
Yeah, I did get in a car race the other day.
What?
A truck race, yeah. I'm going down Shion the road, and this other diesel truck pulls up beside
did
me.
Did y'all do the thing where you
Well, he did. Wom-wom. And I said, okay. So I'm doing about 90 miles an hour down Shion the road.
See, now you're in trouble. Because
but I did beat him.
Yeah.
I did beat him.
Well, that's important.
That's important.
And
Sarah was with me too.
Was she the miss? Was she saying stop? Was she slapping you?
No, she was laughing.
Y'all are just like kids again. Kids.
Well, yeah. They were kids. Yeah, another truck. There were some kids over there.
Kids so. Again.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up and joining us here shortly, Wayne Miller. We're going to talk about some Causeway bass fishing. I know on the inshore side, trout fishing has been very, very good.
Good, good, good. It sure has been.
And Captain Bobby talked about on Thursday just the topwater fishing. And that's, okay, so he's topwater fishing out of a boat with clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a couple things working against him. You've got the slap on the hole because you're in shallow water doing that. You got a bunch of different people casting. He said they were just crushing topwaters. So
I talked to our buddies, Joey Gates, too.
How is Joey?
Joey's doing good, and he's crushing them, too.
And it's the reports I'm already getting people catching them deep water with bay rigs. But the fun is this time of year, if you can catch them or 2 or 3 feet of water, 4 feet of water
on top water,
it's like the best.
It is.
And the nice thing is too, you get like a cloudy day, the water is, you know, in the 70s, give or take, it might be 68 to 74 in there. That topwater bite stays going longer. You get a cloudy day, it stays going even longer. During the summertime, you can get a topwater bite for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Get a topwater bite. Then it just sun gets up and it those fish might still be there and you can catch them other ways, but they just
don't bite as good.
They're not really on the top right now. This time of year, May especially, you know, April would be good as well, but May, you can keep that going for a couple hours in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
We had a little spring hit us this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Spring weather. So, it's been cool out there. It's cooled water down a little bit.
Which is good. Keep it continuing as long as possible because, trust me, it's going to get so hot.
We're going to wish for these days.
You know, one thing, I think most people know this, but the hot water issue, people say, the fish aren't in the hot. It's because it holds less oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
The hotter, that's why. In your bait, we've talked about this too, keeping bait alive, putting that bag of ice in there, okay? Why that's important. So colder water holds more dissolved oxygen. All it boils down to, and that's why trout that, when the water's cooler like it is now, that'll be very active in a foot and a half of water. You look at July and August, they're not because there's not as much oxygen unless the waves are crashing the right way and all that.
That's right. And well, there's just not as many fish in that shallow water at that time of the year, period.
Yeah, and that's right, too. There's something we always talk about. The good point, because we always say, speckled trout are going to the shallow water. Speckled trout are going where the food is.
Yep.
And if the food has, you know, the bait has the oxygen to go in the shallow water, well, speckled trout are going there, too. So that's a good point.
That's right.
So inshore fishing's good. We'll talk some bass fishing with Captain Wayne. Let's talk a little bit about offshore. You hearing anything here on the offshore
the
front?
The weather's just not been...
It's been horrible.
Been cooperative. Now, I did go out. I mean, you haven't talked.
We haven't. You just walked in.
Just walked in. We rocking and rolling. But I did go out, Sarah. Just wanted to run my boat, see what was broke. you know.
That's right, the shake, called a shakedown cruise.
That's right. And luckily, it didn't have much happen. I had a wire that was bad and making my tachometers and stuff go completely off, but I found it and everything's good. So you got to go on those first trips,
right,
just to see what's going on. But we did go out. We caught some amberjack and a ling and some barracuda. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, went about 70 miles out. Now, let me tell you, it was tough catching bait. I did something that I normally tell myself I don't do. I went offshore without catching bait.
Mike will say, y'all will, like, you can't convince Mike Ward to let's just go on out and get bait out there, because he's going to stop. Yeah, and I mean, that's like your rule, man.
I broke my rule this weekend. What happened was I got down to Dolphin Island. You got to get down there if you want.
And Mike's talking about catching hardtails and stuff.
I got a big truck and a big trailer, and it's hard to park that thing unless you get down there early. And then, you know, if you get down there late, you got to park half mile down the
road. Was it crowded?
Well, I got there at 4:30.
Okay.
So in the morning. Yeah. So it wasn't bad. But that's the problem. I got there so early that I left the Billy Goat Hole and started heading out. It's still dark.
Right.
You know, and the hardtails just don't bite good till it starts breaking day and getting a little daylight. So I said, well, I don't want to just hang around out here.
Right.
I'm going to go on out. So I got about 25 miles offshore before it really kind of broke daylight. And using that night tracks, too, let me tell you.
Explain what that is.
Night tracks, it's night vision on the boat, and it runs through your deprecator. I mean, your
it's one of your screens.
One of my screens.
Yeah.
And, man, it is so awesome, baby, to run out there when it's pitch dark. You can see everything. If there was a log in the water or a buoy or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
So it is cool. So anyway, we got out about 25 miles, and you know, starts breaking day, and it's getting where it's time to go catch bait. Well, I stopped at a couple of rigs, and we caught two hardtails, and that was it. You know, so we caught our fish on that, and then ended up going out 70 miles, and we caught one more hardtail out there, and that was
one more,
and we fished for them for probably an hour or two, trying to catch one more. And I'm telling you, it's just hard to catch them offshore right now. At least it was last Saturday.
The weird thing is about, and I don't know the science of this, but weird thing is, like, you and I've done it, and I've done it on my own. I know you've done it. You pull up to a rig and you can't catch a hardtail on it, and you come back by that rig 2 hours later, and you catch the snot out of them.
You can. That's right. They'll be up on top of the water, and you know, you can catch them on a top water bait, or you can jig down in front of the rig.
Because you were just there though earlier, 2 hours earlier, and you would have sworn there's not a hardtail.
That's right.
Within a mile of that thing. And then you come back and they're there.
That's right. I don't know the rhyme and reason of it, but off of Dolphin Island, at times it can be extremely hard to catch hardtails. Now, when I'm fishing over around Louisiana, oh my God, they just jump in the boat.
Yeah, I mean, you think
you pull up and they just jump in the eye well, man.
Just open the door, they come on in.
Yeah.
Is something changed? Are there fewer of them, or?
One thing there is fewer rigs.
Yes, yeah, true.
A lot fewer rigs.
We used to go to a pole. I remember
poles.
We go to a lot of poles to catch them. Yeah. Capped off rig poles.
Well, that was the Three Sister poles.
Yeah,
the V pole out there. But it's just less places to catch your hardtails than what it used to be. And I think they get hit so hard, too, by so many people trying to catch bait before they go offshore, that I think it's just hard to catch them around here.
So you had a total of three live baits for your day.
For all day. We caught three fish.
And you caught three fish.
We actually caught five. I did some trolling for wahoo.
Okay.
Used some hard baits, trolling for wahoo. Did not do any good on that, but we did catch a couple barracudas.
What about your amberjack? What were they, giants or?
No, they were around 25 pounds.
Okay.
The good size.
Perfect.
I mean, if you want to keep one to eat, that's the size to keep. The ling was 40.
It's good
40
ling.
To... I won't say 40 to 50 pounds.
It's a great ling.
Yeah, nice ling. Sure was.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that was a good ling.
Way out? You see it
way
inside?
Offshore. Okay. We was 55 miles offshore over a wreck.
Okay.
And
it comes up.
Fishing for amberjack, and he had a bait down about probably 60, 70
okay,
foot.
So it wasn't up on top.
No, wasn't on top.
You and I talked about this before, and I don't know if we did this on the show or this is just you and I talking. The stories about ling fishing on the beach, I don't hear like I used to.
I haven't heard it any this year.
Right? I mean, that used to be.
I know they probably did it.
April, May was ling fishing on the
middle
beach.
Middle of March. Middle of March. in April, the 2 big months.
Cruising the beach.
Cruising the beach. Now, they may have done it. And
I'm just not hearing it.
You know, everybody posts stuff on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, me and you got on all the fishing farms and stuff.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it. No. And I don't know what happened. I don't know whether Ling didn't show up. The weather's been bad. And that might be part of it.
It may be that the Ling were there making their move. Because what those Ling are doing, they're migrating.
Right.
Okay, and they're coming along the beach, just like Cape kind of same routes, tarpon and all that take. But you got to be able to see them to do that kind of fishing.
That's right. That's sight fishing for those.
Which is kind of a really neat thing.
Oh, it's
right?
Really good.
You get up on a tower and be able to see
them. A lot of fun. I've done it and caught them, and it's fun doing that.
Now, if y'all were doing it, send us some pictures to our Facebook page, which make sure you do FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors and post them up there. Love to see that. But, yeah, so you saw the same thing. I didn't see it this year.
I think it was bad because I did see some posts of Ling on Facebook, but they were from last year or 3 years ago.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic Ling photos.
That's right. So I didn't see any. I didn't see any or many. I can't remember. I don't remember seeing any fresh ones this year.
Did you, when you're out there, you catching amberjack, catching barracuda, you do any? Ain't dropping anything down? Did you drop down to
I didn't go
any group of fishing
I didn't
or any?
No, I didn't do any of that. Didn't have any bait. You know,
that's
normally,
right.
Normally I have some squid, I'll have some menhaden, I'll have something. But being the first, I didn't even know if I was going to go offshore. All I was basically going to do was just run the boat.
Right. Here's my friend Mike Ward. He goes for the shakedown trip. You know, usually that's how I go out a mile or two and come back in. You were how far out?
70.
70 miles. All right. And that is why you're Mike Ward. All right. We're coming right back. We'll talk to Captain Wayne Miller, talking some bass fishing on today's show. It is, you know, the game of the rivers. Up, down. Where is he fishing right now? Last time we talked to him, he said the bite had been incredible. Down towards the causeway. Let's see where he's moved now. We'll do that when we return. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here and talk to a bunch of saltwater and talk about offshore and inshore. But let's go way inshore to that sweet water. We check in with our buddy Captain Wayne Miller and talk about what's happening in the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Captain Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, Wayne.
Good, but I'm on the how good are we doing? Well, it depends on what Captain Wayne says the bass are doing. How's it looking here in the merry, merry month of May?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy week, man. Man, we had some pretty good struggle the first part of this past week, you know, with all the rain we had. And you know, we're still dealing with high water. I mean, you know, the Mobile River's up, you know, well over 7-8 feet. But the good news is, you know, we had a few days where we caught a little bit of north wind. We actually had a couple of mornings where it was, you know, a little bit cool. And that helped a little bit. And actually, it kept some of the lakes in the middle delta from, you know, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, you know, kept those lakes from blowing through. In other words, that high muddy water from the flooded conditions up north, you know, if those lakes don't blow through the top end, then, you know, the fishing will hold up really well. And that's kind of what we've seen this past week. And a lot of fish are being caught, man. I mean, it's just been, it's been a mixed bag from the standpoint of, you know, what really pattern-wise has been effective. You know, I've caught a lot of fish the first part of the week on buzz baits. In fact, I thought about you a few times, Sean. But for whatever reason, I guess it was that little bit of cool snap we had. It kind of shut that top water down some. But, you know, the square bill crankbait, the old spinner baits that, you know, me and Mike been throwing for 40, 50 years, man, they came into play. And it's really been a pretty good week.
Are you able to fish the bays right now? The water in the bays okay on the causeway?
Yeah, they are, Mike. The only challenge there is, man, most of the really skinny water, like in the bays and in some of the creeks, You know, some of the big flats, man, that grass has grown so fast.
Yeah.
And gotten so thick that it's kind of a situation where you have to pick your times to try to target it and, you know, catch it on a high tide and when we have a south wind, so you got enough water on that grass to really effectively fish it, because otherwise it can really be both of y'all understand, you know, when you're in there trying to work spinnerbaits or crankbaits through that grass, you know, it can really just be a frustrating experience.
Or even your trolling motor. I mean, you really need to just about drift across those bays, be able to drift across them to catch them. And like you say, that's what's kind of unique about fishing the causeway. You got to know what the weather. I mean, on a good north wind, you got to know to go to the creeks and fish the creeks maybe. And then when you got a south wind and a high tide, you go fish the bays and drift across the bays. You just got to know the lower end of the delta to be able to fish it right.
Yeah, and you know, that's one reason, you know, and I always encourage people, even on days when it's not, you know, the ideal condition, it really helps you a lot to go out there and just really have an open mind and bounce around and try some different stuff. And, you know, this time of year, you typically, even during the week, I mean, you typically have some traffic out. You got other guys fishing. And, you know, that's something you can always do, man. Just keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay attention to what other people are doing. And sometimes they can clue you in on something.
Are you still getting a lot of redfish bites mixed in?
You know, not as many over the past week. I still hook one every now and then, and occasionally I'll hook something that, you know, I just never turn it. And, you know, usually I'm strongly suspect as to what that is. But
Mr. Jack.
You know, we just had so much, you know, the first part of the week, we had so much rain. It really kind of hindered some of those areas that I had been fishing down on the lower end. I went down one morning, and, man, I caught four bass and a redfish in about 5 minutes. And then the lightning started popping and it ran me off. So, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, you really got to, like I mentioned earlier, you got to have an open mind. And like Mike was talking about, really pay attention to that weather, because it greatly influences, you know, what the water does on this lower end. And, you know, this time of year when you got those flooding conditions up north, I mean, it's not a matter of, you know, if that's your preference to fish down there. If you want bass fish, you pretty much got to either stay in the middle or the lower end.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that. So, you know, we're talking about the rivers are up right now. But as they fall out, this is something we talk about every year, and Lord knows we have a lot of time to talk about it because rivers stay up or go up so many times. And that is this fishing that I find, I don't know if I like it so much because it's that much fun, which I agree, or is it you can't do it all the time. It falls in a small window, so I pay more attention to it. But fishing drains, and can you explain as we get into this to people that have not heard us talk about this before, as the water comes out, kind of go through the fishing a drain. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, you know, basically what you're looking at, and that applies anywhere from the middle delta on up, you know, in the upper delta and the, you know, the Oxbow Lakes. But anywhere you've got a scenario where with the falling water, you've got clearer water running out of a drain or a ditch.
This is flood water, right? For people, flood water that's been in the woods is now coming back to the major, as the water's coming out, it's coming back in. Okay.
Moving back into the main, you know, creek or lake, whatever it may be, even the main river. And, you know, one of the things that you can do, even if you've never have, you know, really gone out and tried to target that particular scenario to catch fish, I mean, when you're up there and you know, and, you know, anybody can access that information and see when the rivers start falling good, and you can just slow down, take your time, ride along, and it's really obvious when you're going and you're in that chocolate milk water and all of a sudden you look over to the bank and there's this dark black water pouring out of the woods in one little bitty spot, that can be magic. it's, you know, a scenario where, you know, that's a low point, and it's an area typically where, you know, the flood water is draining back into the main tributary. And what happens there is it is an absolute smorgasbord from the standpoint of the crawfish and all kind of bait fish that'll be congregated right there around that. And, you know, the key there is, you know, just getting there and getting the boat set up and then figuring out, you know, what you have to throw in there to get the fish to bite. Because a lot of times, you know, you always hear people talk about, man, you know, we pulled up on this little cut, you know, it was draining, and, you know, we took a crankbait and we just killed them. Well, you know, you can't always just limit yourself to one particular technique. You know, I typically try to avoid actually throwing crankbaits on those type drains just because of the fact it's so easy to get hung up with a treble hook type bait. You know, I like to start out with a spinner bait.
Yep.
And then work it with some plastic, you know, a jig, you know, an imitation of a crawfish, because that's one of the primary, you know, forages that you're going to find in that scenario that these bass are up there trying to eat. But, you know, and I'm not saying you can't throw a crankbait, because there's a lot of times you can, but it's kind of my last choice. But, you know, I know both you guys have done it over the years, and it's, you know, there is a small window of opportunity for that, you know, every spring. And it, you know, sometimes it'll happen in February, sometimes mm-hmm. it'll happen in May. But, you know, when you find those conditions, it's always worth stopping and trying.
Wayne, I tell you this, the best day I ever had by myself fishing in the Delta, Upper Delta, was on Mardi Gras Day. And, golly, I don't know when that was, but it was in the 70s sometime. I had, well, back then you could keep as many fish you want, basically. It wasn't a limit.
Yeah.
And I had 20 fish. My top 10 fish weighed 49 pounds, I will say 8 ounces or something. But my second 10 biggest fish weighed 44, 42 or 44 yeah. pounds or something. But that was fishing drains, fishing nothing but drains on Mardi Gras Day in February back long, long time ago. But, man, yeah. I can't tell you how many fish I caught. I don't know. I might have caught 100 fish or more. But, man, caught some monsters. They were awesome.
That's an amazing. You're mentioning February. Wayne, you talked about February, you know. But what about when this happens in May? Is it not as good because there's other forage out there, or is it just as good? And what about the second or third rise and fall? Do you see any difference?
It can be just as good,
okay.
Sean. I mean, you know, because even right now, you know, this past week, you know, most of the water temperature that I've been fishing in the middle and lower Delta has been in the very low to mid-70s. I mean, I've fished a lot of water that still just 69, 70 degrees. So when you think about the further north you go, you know, you're going to see a little bit cooler water. And especially, you know, up there, a lot of these fish, you know, the spawn is still on. I mean, that scenario that Mike just described, obviously, that's, you know, once in a lifetime.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of those fish that Mike was catching were pre-spawn fish, too. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. they've been, you know, in February, they've just been in those woods eating crawfish and having Mardi Gras.
They were still eating crawfish. They were just at the mouth of the creek, of the ditch, feeding up on them.
And that's, I mean, a good way to explain. The people who know what we're talking about, they're already on board. But somebody who's new to this, so water's up. It's in the woods, right? So the bass and white perch and brim, everything's back there getting easy pickings. Water starts dropping. I don't know how the fish get the signal, but they know, because you don't find a lot of bass laying back in the woods get trapped out after the waterfall. They know. And
And
I think they come out often. My guess is, you know, they come out, heck, the drain they just came out of themselves as the water is falling. They can just turn a 180 and lay right there and wait for the – It got a little too skinny for them, but now they're back in the big water waiting for the rest
crawfish,
of that to drain out.
Minnows, brim, whatever's coming out of there. They whacking them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these fish, you know, and it's irregardless of whether you're talking about a, you know, a river system, a delta, or even a, you know, a inland reservoir, you know, in the spring, when any time you have floods, I mean, those fish, you know, they can sense when that water starts falling, and they automatically pull back. And when they pull back into the mouths of these drains and creeks, it's just, you know, I mean, they've been eating, and that's all they're interested in doing, and it's just a phenomenal scenario to just really, you know, catch not only numbers but quality.
I want to hear from both you and Mike on this. Describe a drain that's better than another. Is it a width, depth, bank next to it? Is there anything that you can say that one's going to have fish?
You know, for me, what I found over the years is I've always had much better success on the drains that come out and drop onto a deeper, you know, ledge than the ones that are relatively shallow. You know, they run out kind of on a flat and then drop off. The ones that seem to come out and just drop on a vertical drop always seem to have not only more fish, but bigger fish to me.
And I agree with that, Wayne. And also, what I found in the past is if I know there's a big beaver pond back behind this drain where it's going to drain longer, where that drain
– like sloughs and guts and all
where it's going to drain for, you know, 4, 5, 6 days or something while the water's falling down is better than one that's just going to drain for a day or so.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, something else that typically makes a drain a lot better is if you've got some type of hard structure, be it a log or something there to break that current that the fish can position on, you know, to get out of that current. However, you know, what we have, the scenario we have here on the Delta is a drain may be excellent this year. It may have a log laying on it perfectly. Well, next year when we had the, you know, the spring floods and the water gets up, it may move that log, you know, 25 miles down the
right,
river.
Right.
I might be fishing it in the Gulf.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really can't, even though that is, you know, I mean, that's something that comes into play. You know, you can't count on it from year to year because those drains and the wood that is on them changes quite a bit.
Very good points here. Best way to do and get that education of what these things look like is to go fishing with Captain Wayne, like I've been lucky enough to do over
for
the years.
Sure.
If somebody wants to get a trip booked with you, how do they do it?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Captain Wayne, we appreciate it. We'll be checking back with you real soon.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay, guys.
There he is, Captain Wayne Miller, and we're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Big thank you to Captain Wayne Miller. Show brought to you in part by McConnell Buick GMC. Big thank you to Louie and the crew there for making that happen. And
all the McConnell boys.
It's just about Louie.
Oh, I forgot.
It's all about Louie around. I want to. Something you and I talked about during the news break here. We're back and forth. Mike and I, if you haven't figured out, we like catching whatever, inshore, offshore, freshwater. And we talked to Captain Wayne Miller. But then you and I said we got off, and you said what I didn't say about going offshore the other day when you went Mike Shakedown cruise where he went 70 miles offshore just to see blow the dust off it. You said the water was dingy. How far out?
Oh, probably 50 miles or so. It was dingy. It was off color.
Were you south, southeast, southwest?
South. I went out to the Exxon rig and some rigs passed the Exxon rigs. People
Exxon's
know what that is. Exxon is gone now. There is no Exxon rig anymore. It is.
It was at 60, right?
It was right at 60 miles, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, but what they've done with the Exxon rig, they have cut it off, and there is still some structure. You know, it comes off the bottom, I think 60 foot or 80 foot
okay.
off the bottom.
So there's still plenty of fish
on it.
They
didn't take the whole rig away, but there is.
You better
nothing,
have the number because you're
there
not going
to see it. There is nothing. Out of the water anymore, except for there is a buoy out there right now.
Okay.
It's not on the wreck, but it's close to the wreck. You'd find it. You ride around, you'll find it. So the current, Sean, it was screaming. I'm talking about, it's about as hard as I've ever seen the
current. Was it as hard as, like, our first and second snapper trip, you and I, last year? Remember when it was so tough? Like, just you had to get on those engines hard to stay over.
Just as hard, if not harder. I'm telling you.
Wow.
It was smoking. You couldn't already fish around the rig. I mean, you couldn't even put a bait down hardly. It was just bad. I'm telling you.
Is there anything maybe it's out there, maybe I'm going to sound – is there any kind of forecasting for current?
Not that I know of.
There be may interesting be, there with may all the technology be, out there. If
there
you
may
see.
Be something, I don't know. But
because you know, it'll
anything.
Be like current be ripping, 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 and then it's not. And it's not just people say, well, it's a tide coming in and out, but it's beyond that. It's not just tide coming in and out. There because these currents are going east west. They're going north south.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I mean, you can be 30 miles offshore and not hardly be any current, and it'll be coming from the west to the east.
Right,
and then you can go another 20 miles offshore, and it will be screaming.
Right, it's not the tide change. That's what we're getting at.
Going from west to east. I mean, going the opposite.
Right.
You know, directions. It's crazy how
like
that
you'll
works.
You'll see it when you come up on a rip. Right, a rip is two different currents. It could be no current and current. It could be two different currents.
Right.
When you see a rip, you're looking at different currents out there. But, you know, people say, oh, that's just the tide. It's beyond the tide cycle. It's something, you know.
Oh, it's not tide.
It's not the tide
no,
cycle.
It's not.
So
it's just current.
It'd be neat to see that forecast because it makes it real hard. And y'all know that I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I'm following Mike's lead very poorly, but I'm following Mike's lead and doing some deep dropping this year and some of that. And current
makes a difference.
When you start talking about, we're not talking about Sullivan at 125 feet snapper fishing now. Now we're 500, 600, 700, 800 feet.
That's right. So
it's current, a big difference.
Current is a big thing when you're really deep dropping way off and trying to get on the spot. You know, there's a rock out there that's as big as twice as big as a bedroom or something. That sounds like pretty big. But
not when you're 800 feet up.
Yeah, yeah, and that current is really smoking it. It's hard to get your bait down right on that rock or around that rock.
So
it can be very difficult fishing in that guff with
so
the
it was ripping hard there. And the dirty water was 50 miles.
Yeah, I mean, it was real it was dingy water.
Right.
Not, you know, here in the past, and a month or so ago, just past the ships, it was indigo blue water. It was absolutely beautiful water. I had several people tell me how pretty the water was just out past the ships out there. And now it's not that pretty. Now, maybe a little further to the east it was prettier,
yeah,
maybe
and
further to the west.
Due south, where you were, it was 50 miles out.
Yeah, it was dingy, yeah.
All right, coming right back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Remember, check us out online, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. My partner, Captain Mike, had to step out a little early on this morning's show. That's okay. He'll be back for the full hour next week. It's good. It gives me some time for us to talk about a few things I wanted to put on the list here. Kind of, I don't know, housekeeping stuff, because some of them can be just a discussion of what you might look at for next hunting season, right? And by the way, we hadn't really gotten into it as much as we usually do by this time of year on prepping, on habitat management. In other words, planting summer food plots and projects you're doing. I'll tell you one of the main reasons that I'm not doing that right now. It's because it's been so wet. It's going to be interesting this year. So I'm somebody that likes to put supplemental crops out, summer crops out. Not been able to get in places. You know, we went from having a fairly dry winter to what staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams the other day was saying, we were, I think, now gone 6 inches over, and it shows. I'm in sandy soil, so I can only imagine if you got some clay component or
If you're in the river swamp, it's underwater. But if you have clay component in your soil, it's probably worse than me. But it's too wet. I have not been able to. So whatever planting, and I'll tell you this, we'll get into planting discussion here, because whatever planting I'm going to do is still, even if things got right, is another week or two away. Well, that, what does that start pressing? Presses the month of June when you start thinking about stuff like planting chufa and millet if you're going to do a dove hunt. I know it seems like, well, that's a world away. We're just not. It's going to be June before you know it. And if you're going to be, you know, usually, yeah, you can get chufa in and make a good crop if you get it in July, but it's easier if you get it in June. And depending on what kind of millets or what you're going to try to do for dove fields, that's something you're looking at in June. You know, the best idea here, you look at the dove season start date, figure out what your seed maturity is on whatever variety of millet you're planting, or if you're going to run, you're planting sorghum, or you're going to, I mean, you know, you're going to plant corn, whatever you're going to do, you got to back up that maturity, right? And then give it enough time to die on its own, or if you're going to spray it and kill it down and be ready to dove hunt. So that stuff backs up into June, and here we are in May, just soaked. Just big time soaked. I want to point out, too, things coming up in June, what starts next, and yes, are we going to be distracted by snapper season starting the end of this month? Of course we are. Of course we are. And all the other great fishing going on out there. Like we heard from Captain Wayne, you know, the bass fishing's fantastic. Even with the river up, there's still great bass fishing in the South Delta. Captain Bobby Arriscato, who has just day after day great speckled trout reports. We talked about the offshore, and you need to fish amberjack and go after that. But snapper season starts the end of this month, which, by the way, it looks like, unless something changed, and I say this every time, as of this is May 2021, so if you're listening to it on a podcast or something like this, so it's mid-May of 2021, that as it looks like, the Memorial Day weekend, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it probably wouldn't carry any money, so the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. No, I think it may include, I'll double-check that if it includes the Monday, too, because our snapper season is going to be like it was last year, open 4 days a week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but the way it lines up right now, and the reason I say this is the feds could change something, you know, before you even hear the show. But as it is right now, double check, we will be able to go after, well, our one trigger, our two snapper, our amberjack on that Memorial Day weekend, which is a real treat because it won't happen again for the rest of the summer, being able to go after all three species, which is nice, right? You run the gas to get out there and you can catch a snapper pretty fast. Then you can go find a good amberjack and find a big old triggerfish. So that is laid out for Memorial Day weekend as it is on this May 15th, 2021. So put that in there in case something changes. All right. Also, registration. Next month, beginning of next month, so it'll be right after Memorial Day weekend. I think it's the Tuesday. I don't have the calendar in front of me when it falls. The 2nd of June. Is the 2nd of June a Tuesday? What is that this year? Let me open the calendar here. So Wednesday. So the Wednesday, 2nd of June, that opens alligator registration as well for this. Or is that last year's? Maybe they haven't updated. I bet you it's the first. I bet you that's last year. So it'll be the first. That's when they open up the lottery registration for alligator season. Remember, you have the different districts and you got to apply there one time per zone. It's not the old, you know, get as many entries as you can. You can enter one time per gator zone. I think it was last year, it was $22 per. So I think that's going to probably be close to the same this year. But yeah, that's coming up early next month. Alligator hunt registration opens up as well. So that's on your to-do list. Also, keep an eye out. It's not up yet, but starting, I'm sure, sometime next month. They haven't put a note on it, but I would say in the next 40 days, they'll start opening up the registration for the SOAs, the Special Opportunity Area hunts in the state. And we've talked about those in the past, talked about with Director Chuck Sykes, turkey hunting, deer hunting. But the deer hunting and the waterfowling will be on the first side of this. These are these hunts where you can get a piece of land that only you and a friend are going to hunt for, you know, 2 or 3 days, a really good ground in the state. And if you'll look for SOA, Special Opportunity Area, over at OutdoorAlabama.com, you can see where they are in the state and learn more about them. But that registration will happen in the summer. It's just something that's not, you know, normal for a lot of people in Alabama. We didn't have to register or try to get draws. And you don't have to hunt, but if you want to hunt one of these areas, you do need to put in for these lotto draws, lottery draw on that. Speaking of that, too, draws if you're hunting out west. I've had my bad news. I don't know how many other folks have tried to go hunt public land out west or in our area, but Utah gave me the bad news. I got bad news from Utah the other day. But you build points. Still doing that. Looking at later this month, Kansas is in our rear view, too. If you want to deer hunt Kansas, even though it's an easy draw, we've told you about that before, you have to put in for the draw. So if you're wanting to hunt that walk-in land and all that in Kansas, I think that deadline was a couple weeks ago there. And remember that, too, because I know there's a lot of people from here that like to try to take that trip. Remember, there's a draw aspect to certain parts of the state, so you need to be looking at that. One thing you can look at, though, if you're trying to go out west and you missed the first draw for a Wyoming or a Colorado or a Utah or something like that, they do have second draws. They have tags that were not awarded in the draw, and it's something to look forward to try to find out. South Dakota, same way. So in the next couple of weeks to the next month, you'll be looking at opportunities to maybe get in on a draw that you missed on the first shot. All right, I'm out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way in next. I hope you'll have a great time getting after it this weekend. The weather is fantastic. We'll talk more about it next week right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.